Okay, today's daf is Mem Aleph. I want to just go back in the part we did yesterday. I didn't teach it properly, so I'm going to go back to the previous section where it starts with the Gemara. I'm Mem Amubet. I made a few mistakes. I want to start again from the Gemara, okay, where it says Lememra. We're about 15 lines from the bottom. So the Mishnah had said, okay, Rabbi Chanina ben Natuginu said, Yabelet shebe'enav, right, be'eno, or okay, if you have Yabelet in your eyes, which is a wart in your eye. So then the Gemara said,
the animal.
So lememra di yabelet havi muma, are we assuming yabelet is a mum? That contradicts, right, we're going to have a few contradictions here. We have, number one, we're going to get back to this, but the Torah says yabelet is a mum. But before we even get there, we're going to say the Mishnah says yabelet is a mum. But then there's another Mishnah, which is actually the Mishnah we're going to get to today, which says that Yabelet is a Safe case, where Elu she'ein shochatin alehen lo b'mikdash ve'lo b'mitina, ba'al gerev u'ba'al Yabelet, which means you can't bring it as a sacrifice, but we also don't allow it to be shechted outside the mikdash. It's in this in-between Safe case, which we're going to discuss more today, this whole in-between section. So now they say, on the one hand, it sounds like Yabelet is a mum, right? And this Mishnah is in this category. The following Mishnah, it's in the other category of Safek, instead of Vaday mum. So how do we resolve that? So the first question, the first answer they say is, right then, before they even get to an answer, they say, V'tizbara, could it really not be? Haktiva Yabelet bo'raita, right? And then it also says Yabelet is a mum. So we have a contradiction. So ela lo kasha habigufo habeino. The first answer is to say, in the body, it's not a mum; it's only a suffic mum, this in-between category. And beino, in his eye, it's a mum, and that's what the Torah means, and that's what the Mishnah means, right? Mum in your eye. So then the Gemara says, michte krastama. How can you say that the Torah is referring to a mum in the eye when the Torah specifically says, Yabelet stam, mali begufo mali beino? How can you say that when the Torah specifically, to say in the Mishnah, Yabelet is in its eye, it makes sense. It says Yabelet beino, makes sense to say. But to say that the Torah is referring to that doesn't make any sense. So therefore, they say, okay, ela lo kashya. So we're going to assume Yabelet in the Torah is in the body also. And lo kashya, had to eat by itself, had to late by itself. Okay, we're going to distinguish between having a bone and not having a bone. Dikra, de eat by itself. Now we're going to make all of a sudden, you might have thought our mission is the same as the Torah because they both say Yabel et Zemum. No. We're going to distinguish. When it comes to the Torah law is talking about when there's a bone. Now we get into the realm of the Mishnayot where there's a country. So now we put the Torah aside. We've kind of said, okay, fine. That's in a place where there's no etzem. Now let's deal with the contradiction between the two yabalot that are mentioned in this Mishnah and the following Mishnah. So when it comes to the Mishnayot, they're talking about the late by etzem, where there is no bone. So then both our Mishnayot have nothing to do with the Torah, right? It was easier to say simply, this Mishnah matches the Torah and that Mishnah is a different Yabelet. But we can't say that because we just rejected that possibility. So now we're going to say, well, now the Mishnayot are going into a different realm where there's no Etzem, which means by Torah law, you would think it's not a Mum, but we're going to have to explain why there's a Mum here. So the Mishnayot delayed by Etzem, and we're going to say it like this. When there's no Etzem, now we're going to distinguish. There's two parts of the body we're going to distinguish between. Be'eino have muma, as our Mishnah says, the eye. Begufa lo have muma. But in its body, it won't be a muma. That's the next Mishnah. So now they say, okay, wait. Now the issue is like this. The next Mishnah says that, the next Mishnah is talking about a muma in the goof. And what does it say? Well, you can't sacrifice it, but you can... You can't sacrifice in the Mizbeach, but you also can't sacrifice it. So now we're going to zoom in on the fact that they say you can't sacrifice it. Why can't you sacrifice it then? If it's on the body and there's no bone, so it shouldn't be a problem at all. Begufa psula, it's psula in the Mizbeach. Hare tulzul ba'amu, it's just like a piece of skin. We don't really care about it if it doesn't have a bone. Ditznam, Rabbi Elazar Omer, ba'alea tilulim, anything that's hanging, psulim ba'adam ksherim bebeima, which means it's totally kasher, meaning it can be sacrificed. So how can we possibly say that the upcoming Mishnah, where it says can't be sacrificed, is talking about in the body? In the body, it should be totally mutar. Therefore, they reject the possibility that the difference between this Mishnah and the next Mishnah, they're both talking about Ein Bo Etzem, but one is the I and one is the goof. No, that can't be. So therefore, Ela Idi Ve'idi Be'eino. Both are talking about the I, below Kasha, because we already said the goof for sure it's not a problem if there's no Etzem. Again, remember, the Torah is only with an etzem and has nothing to do with this anymore. So now they say, v'lo kashya, haba shachor, haba lavan. Our Mishnah that says it's a real moon is on the black part of the eye. And the Mishnah that says it's this in-between problem, can't be sacrificed, but also can't be shechted, haba lavan, that's talking about the white part of the eye. And then the Gemara says, but don't we say in the Mishnah, v'ha, we learned this a few tapim ago. There is no mum in the white part of the eye. Okay, which means, now, what's the issue? If the next Mishnah means lavan, the white part of your eye, so it's not as bad as the black part, but it's still bad because it still can't be sacrificed. How could you say it can't be sacrificed if it says mumim b'lavan? So therefore, what's the answer? Can't Ella? Idi b'lavan. Now this is the tricky part because idi b'idi you might have thought means the mission. No. The first Mishnah, our Mishnah, is still talking about black. Now we have an inner contradiction between what? Now we have an inner contradiction between what? Between our Mishnah, the second Mishnah, which says in the lavan, if this in between can't be sacrificed, also. Can't be shechted, versus the earlier Mishnah, which said there's no mum on the white part of the eye. So how do you resolve that? Well, Amar Reish Lakish, lo kashya, hadi ipeser, hadi leipaser. When it said eimumim b'lavan, that's when there's no hair coming out. But if the upcoming Mishnah, which says there's a mum, yabelet, in the lavan, meaning it's a pseudo-mum, it can't be sacrificed, even though it's still not allowed, right? It's an in-between. You can't shecht it. But that's a case where there's a hair, okay? And that's how they conclude in the end. So again, just to review, the Torah Pasuk was referring to, and as we basically have four things we have to explain. Number one, the Torah Pasuk was referring to a yabelet in a part of the body where there's a bone. Then you go to our Mishnah, which says it's a mum yabelet. That's referring to a mum in the white part of the eye, okay? Then we move to the, I'm sorry, I just said it wrong. In the black part of the eye. In the black part of the eye, definitely a mum. Okay, so we have mum in the goof where there's an etzem, that's the Torah. Anywhere where there's an etzem. Mum in the eye on the black part is definitely a mum, 100%
mum. Wart in the body in the Torah is not a mum.
Wart in the Torah where there isn't a bone is not a mum. Where there is a bone, it is a mum. Eye, we get to the eye now. If it's in the black part of the eye, definitely a mum. If it's in the white part of the eye, it depends if it has a hair. If it has a hair, then it's a suffix. Can't sacrifice it, but you also can't shecht it. If it's in the white part of the eye and it doesn't have a hair, then it's allowed entirely. Okay, and then it means, what does it mean it's allowed? It means you can sacrifice it. And it also means you can't shecht it. Right, because it's forbidden to shecht if you're not sacrificing it.
Hair can't grow inside.
Yeah, I don't know. I really didn't understand the reality of a hair growing in the eye. I can't. I'm not sure what they mean. But they say in the white part of the eye. I don't really know. It's hard to. It's unpleasant to think about. Right. I don't know exactly what they mean about the hair. I have to be honest in terms of the reality. Okay, so that was a sikum of yesterday, which I didn't explain correctly. Okay, moving on now to the Mishnah now. Zanav ha'egel she'ena magat la'arkof. If you have a tail of the calf that doesn't reach the joint in the leg, we're going to see in the Gemara which joint in the leg they're talking about. We've seen before there's a few joints in the leg, right? Because the animal's leg has three parts, not like ours that has two with just a knee in the middle, one joint. There's two joints. There's an upper and a lower. Amru chachamim, kol marbit agalim ken, all, right, the majority of calves are like this. And as they grow, the tail gets longer. Now this is a little strange. What is Chachamim coming to say? So Rashi says the Chachamim is coming to explain the Mishnah. And it says, since most of their Znavot get to the Arkov, therefore, in other words, what Rashi explains the Mishnah means here is that most agalim are like this, meaning they start out with a tail long as the arkov, and as they get older, it gets longer. Okay, now the problem with Rashi is, why do Chachamim need to tell us as it gets older, it gets longer? You would think that, what does that seem to mean? Well, if the tail is short and you're going to call that a moom, why would you call that a moom if eventually, as it gets older, it gets longer? That sounds like a temporary moom. Okay, so Rashi's interpretation is basically, if at this point it's too short, right, since most of them start out longer than that, they get to the arko from the beginning, and this one didn't, that's called a moom. In which case, again, the second part where it grows longer seems to be kind of irrelevant to the picture here. Rambam, his Perashat Mishnah, has a totally different interpretation, which to me sounds much more like the Pshat. The Chachamim are actually disagreeing, and they're saying a short tail, since it eventually grows, it's actually not a moom. And the Chachamim disagree, and in fact, the Rambam, when he lists the moomim, he doesn't list this as a blemish, okay? Because he thinks the Chachamim disagree with the Tanakhami. Ezu Arkov Shamru, what is the Arkov? Which one? Rabbi Chanina ben Tugina somewhere, but Arkov Sheba Emtza Hayerech, the one that's in the middle of the leg. So again, it's not so clear what is middle. If there's three parts, right, where would you call the middle exactly? So the Gemara says, Tana, Kefetz Ha'elyon Velo Kefetz HaTachton. It's the upper leg joint, not the lower leg joint. And we've seen this a bunch of times. Uche Negdo Begamal Nikar. If you look in a camel, it juts out this bone. And if you remember, we saw some pictures of this. Were they, it's not in here? No. But where, it is here. So if you have the Schanstein, it has it. So where it's kind of exposed right there, where that upper joint is. Okay, so therefore it's obvious. Whereas you look, they bring here a picture of a calf or a cow, and you can't really see the difference so well. Okay. New Mishnah. Al elu mumim shochatim et habachor upsulei hamukdashim niftin alehem. On all the mumim that we mentioned until this point in the Mishnah, right, you shecht a bachor, right, meaning again, we get to our distinction here, we have our split. We have bachor, which what do you do if it has a mum? Well, you're allowed to shecht it. And psulei hamukdashim, if it was designated for a sacrifice and it gets one of these mumim, niftin alehem, you're allowed to redeem the animal. So now the Gemara says, why on earth do you have this Mishnah? Hatu lamali. Hatana l'reisha. Okay, go back to the first Mishnah of the Perek. What did it say? You can see the name of the Perek is Al Elu Mumim. Al Elu Mumim Shochatin et HaBachor. Right? It already said that. So why is it coming now to say Al Elu Mumim Shochatin et HaBachor? We already started that way. Right? This is when you have an intro, and then, right, this is kind of, you would say this Mishnah is kind of framing it. Closed, it's like, you know, open parentheses, closed parentheses. Okay? But it's not so common for the Mishnah to do such a thing, and that's why the Gemara finds this odd. Okay, in the Torah, by the way, you have this, where you have a section will start with the same words that it ends with often, and it creates a frame. Okay, so hatu lamali hatana lereisha le'lumumim shochatin et habachor. So what's the reason? Well, note the difference between the first Mishnah and the Perek and this Mishnah. The first Mishnah said al le'lumumim shochatin et habachor. This Mishnah adds upsulei hamukdashim niftin alehen. So now they say seifa itzrichale. Psulei hamukdashim niftin alehen. So they say the reason why they brought it was for the last line. Now again, you could still ask the question, well, why did they put that line in the first Mishnah? Then we could have resolved it. They didn't need to have two different Mishnayot. So the Gemara says, not only did they suggest what I suggested, but they say something else, which is Hanami Pshita. In other words, you don't even need to write that in the Mishnah because we all know that those two things are equated. Michshat Shachtinan, Mifrach Mibai. If we say that for Bechor, we allow this mum to pass on the Bechor, it can't be sacrificed, therefore you can shecht it. Obviously, then, you can also redeem it when it comes to a Psulei HaMukdashim. We know that. Those two things are basically intertwined. So what do they say? No. The reason why they mentioned this in this Mishnah was because of the following. Ela'aydi ditana shlosha hosif va'amrulo lo shamanu. Remember that from yesterday? There were three cases that Rav Ila added. And then the rabbis didn't agree with him, and only the later rabbis agreed with him. And if you paid attention, I don't know if you did, but also, the upcoming Mishnayot, a bunch of them were said in names of individuals. Okay, there were all sorts of individual names listed here. Therefore, you might have thought, Lo shamanu et elu, they said to him, v'katane va'ate di'achidai, v'kasatim le'bekulhu, Al elu mumim shochtin tabachor psulem ukdashim niftin alhen. You might have thought that maybe we don't hold by all these other ones because they were said by yechidim, like Rabbi Chanina ben Tikunus, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. There's all these mumim that were said by individuals. You might have thought the rabbis didn't agree with them. Therefore, this Mishnah is not coming, according to the Gemara, as I suggested, to close the section, even though I still retain the rights to claim that maybe that really was the way the Mishnah was structured. But the way the Gemara views it as is, since there became all these individual opinions at the end, they want to say all these mumim are part of the klal of mumim, and even the rabbis agree with them. So the al elu mumim really refers to the last bunch that were mentioned. Okay, new Mishnah. Now that we said, and the other thing is, it could be creating a good break between this Mishnah and the upcoming Mishnah. Ve'elu she'ein shochatin alehen. And on these, right, we don't shecht. Okay? These are not allowed to be shechted. Lo b'mikdash ve'lo b'medina. This is what we saw in the end of yesterday's daf. They can't be shechted in the Beit HaMikdash, meaning they're pasul to lahakrava. You can't sacrifice them. But they're also not permitted b'medina. B'medina means anywhere outside of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? Meaning, they're a suffix, right? They're an in-between. Chavarvar v'hamayim she'en kfuim. Now we have a classic structure of Mishnayot where we're going to take all, not all the cases, but a lot of the cases and bring the other, right, the foil to it. Okay, so we had chavarvar, the white spots in the eye, or we had a few different interpretations of exactly what it was. And the mayim shekfuim, that's both of these are continual problems. If you remember, we said you do this antidote and then you see what happens after 80 days or after 3 months or whatever it might be for each one.
Can you stop for a second, please? You're talking about you can't even shech them, even if they're chulin, or are we still talking about bechor or maser?
Okay. What we mean is only a bechor. In other words, a bechor, if it's a firstborn, you have two options. Either you sacrifice it, okay, or when it gets a blemish, you're allowed to shecht it in the Medina.
The Kohen.
In this case...
Always the Kohen.
Right. Almost always the Kohen, unless it's a case where it's a suffix and the Kohen can't prove that it is, and then it gets to be in the Israel's hand. Okay? So Bechor, as soon as it gets a mum, is mutar b'shchita to whoever owns it, right? In other words, usually the Kohen. Unique circumstances where Yisrael can have it. That is only allowed if it's a vadai mum. Okay? If it's a sefek mum, like this case, then we're not going to... If it's a regular animal chulin, of course you could check to any animal. It doesn't need to have a blemish. Now, obviously, what will happen then? You just have to wait till it gets some other mum. It doesn't mean you can never sacrifice. You can never check this animal. It means you can't check that animal on account of that blemish. You have to wait till it gets a blemish. That's a vadai blemish, and then you can sacrifice it.
And if it never gets another blemish or never heals, you can
then
never
you can
do
never
it.
Sacrifice it. That's like that case with that old goat, and they said, "What you know?" The Roman said, "What are you doing with that goat? You know, what's the deal?" Okay, so here we have: if you have white spots or water in the eye, that's not kavua, right? That it's going to go away. Bichutim apnimiyot shenifgemu avaloshenekru, the inner gums that are damaged but not uprooted, because remember you can't see it. Ubal gerev, ubal yabelet, ubal chazazit. We're going to have to explain all these things. Gerev is boils. Yabelet is the wart, which again, that was the whole problem with the previous Mishnah. And we're going to see the gerev also creates a problem. And the chazazit, which is another type of boil. Okay, the Gemara is going to try to explain what's the difference between these and how does that seem to contradict? Because gerev is mentioned in the Torah as a blemish. So what's this gerev? What's that gerev? Very similar to the issue with the yabelet that we saw. Zaken, an old animal. Okay, this very interesting machloket here. What does it mean, old? So, some explain it's all a matter of your age, okay, that you're old based on your age. For an animal, okay, you'll be surprised by this, a tzon greater than 2 years, and bakar greater than 3 years, right? It doesn't sound so old, but animal years are a little different. And, right, we have often in the Torah, it has to be ben shana or ben shanatayim. Here we're obviously talking about sacrifices that don't specify how old the animal has to be. But even so, if it gets past a certain age, it can no longer be brought. The Rambam says that it's... he actually talks about this when it comes to mum of a person, of a Kohen. He says when someone shakes from old age, okay? When the shake, you know, when their body shakes from old age, that's what it is. But theoretically, if it's old in years, it could still be sacrificed if it doesn't have signs of old age.
That's not a curable condition. No, I mean, it's not right. Like...
Right, it's true. Well, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
They have to be pregnant after a year. But isn't there something we learned a while ago? How old?
How old it can be when it can, right, to be able to conceive.
Here they are old. And
right, and be able to get right. Yeah, fair. That's good. That's very good. That's a very good question. And then the Mishnah in Parah says, okay, Rabbi Meir says, Af b'nei arba'a u'b'nei chamisha k'sherim, okay, can go on the Mizbeach, ela she'ein mevim zkenim mipnei kavod. Okay, but out of respect, okay, now it's a, right, there's always the thing of, we dafka respect old people, right? But here they're saying, out of respect for the mikdash, we don't allow zkenim. So there it shows that it's like an in-between issue, right? In other words, theoretically, it's really okay. It doesn't really mean it's blemish. On the other hand, right, so then how does that all work in? There's a whole diyun about all this zaken and all the different opinions. Chole, one who's sick, which again, there's gradations of sick. It's not necessarily every sick. Umizuham, if it smells really bad, okay? Some people say it's not like smelling from sweat, okay? That's not what we're talking about, but like it has a foul odor. Vishenev dabo avira, if an avira was done to it, generally that's bestiality. Even if it didn't initiate on its own, but it was happened to it, that's nevda. V'shehemit adam, and it killed a person. But both these things, shnevda bo avera, or hemit ben adam, al pi edachad or al pi abalim. It would be that only one witness or only the owner said it. Because why? Otherwise, we kill the animal, which of course then you can't bring it as a sacrifice. V'tumtum van droginus. We go back to that famous categories, right? Tumtum is, and we're going to deal with this for a while today and tomorrow. Tumtum is one who has their genital area is sealed up and you can't tell whether it's male or female. And androgynous is it has simanim of both, right? Both evarim of the male and the female. Lo b'mikdash v'lo b'medina. Okay, these can't be, again, they're repeating, right? Can't be in the mikdash, can't be in the medina. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, okay, that's the first opinion about, okay, now we're going to have a machloka between tumtum and androgynous. Okay, so tumtum and androgynous, according to Tanakama, lo b'mikdash v'lo b'medina, okay, meaning it's safek, whether it's, what's the safek? Either it's zachar, right, and then it can be slaughtered, or it's nikeva, and then it can't be, right, well, it depends what the issue is, but whether it has a mum or not, we're going to see exactly in the Gemara how they understand this opinion. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, ein lecha mum gadol mizeh, what bigger mum is this than being safek zachar, safek nikeva? We'll talk about that also, what exactly the mum is. Meaning, it's vadai mum, meaning you can sacrifice it outside the mikdash, right? You can't sacrifice it, you can slaughter it outside the mikdash, because it's a mum. The chachamim omrim, eino bechor, it's not a bechor, ela nigzaz v'nevad. A tumtum, there's only a din of bechor by a zachar. This is not a zachar. If it's not a zachar, it's not even a bechor. Not only are you allowed to slaughter it, but let's go even farther and say, since it's not a bechor, what do we know? Okay, so we didn't talk about this recently. We talked about a few tepim ago that, and we didn't talk about it in the context here, but what happens? When it's a bechor can only be slaughtered. When it gets a mum, what happens? You can slaughter it outside the mikdash. You don't need to bring it as a sacrifice. From the time where it gets a mum until the time that you slaughter it outside the mikdash, you're not allowed to work the animal and you can't shear it because it still has remnants of the kedusha to it. It's chachamim, and they say, well, since this isn't a zachar, because it's a tumtum and androgynous, which is sort of neither here nor there, we're going to say it's not even a bechor. You can even work the animal and shear it. You can do whatever you want with it because there's no kedusha bechor whatsoever. Okay, so now, let's go back. We're going to get back to all that three-way machloket in a bit. The gerev lo, now gerev was mentioned here, boils, you can't. V'haktiv gerev, right? In other words, you're not allowed to slaughter it outside the mikdash if it has a gerev. V'haktiv gerev bo'raita, doesn't it say gerev in the Torah listed among the mumim? V'chazazit lo, and a chazazit, which is another type of boil, v'haktiv yalefet bo'raita. They assume the chazazit is a type of yalefet. Okay, which is also a type of boil. So there it says yalefet in the Torah. V'tanya, and there's a braita that says, gerev ze hacheres. Gerev is a boil that's dried out, like cheres, like
pottery.
Yalefet zo chazazit hamitzrit, and yalefet are the boils that they had in Egypt, which were liquidy boils. Okay, so we have liquidy boils and dry boils. That's what gerev and yalefet are. And isn't that what chazazit and gerev is in our Mishnah? So they should be in the vaday mumim and not the sefer. Va'amar Rish Lakish, this is just a side thing about the yalefet being the chazazit hamitzrit. Lamini krashma yalefet shemilapefet v'holechet yad yomita. It sticks to you and stays on your body until the day you die. Okay, so now they're going to start to explain. Bishlama chazazit ha-chazazit lo kasha. Don't worry about chazazit and chazazit. Because cham b'chazazit ha-mitzrit, the yalefet in the Torah, where it's a vaday mum, is a chazazit mitzrit. Cham b'chazazit ba'alma. Okay, this is the regular chazazit, okay? There's a difference between a regular boil and the boils of Egypt. So a regular boil is an in-between, safek, and the chazazit of mitzrit was more severe. That's the one that is listed. That's the one listed in the Torah. Ela gerev a gerev kasha. But how are we going to explain gerev and gerev? As you could say, yalefet is the chazazit that stays with you till the day you die. You could see that that would be more severe. But gerev, it uses the term in the Mishnah gerev, and it uses the term in the Torah gerev. By the way, this is a good proof that often the language of the Mishnah is different. I had a whole course in university in Lashon Chachamim and how it differs often from Lashon HaTorah. Like there's certain words used in the Torah for things, and there's different words that the Mishnayot use for them. So this could be a good example where the gerev they use in the time of the Mishnah was obviously not the gerev that they were using in the time of the Torah. Otherwise, it would be on the list of vada. So what's the difference? So they say, gerev agerev nami lo kasha. Habalach, habiyavish. If it's liquidy, then that's our Mishnah. Okay, there it can be cured. But if it's yavesh, if it's dry, then it can't be cured. The assumption is also a boil that's dry is like cracked, and then it becomes cracked. We're going to get to that soon. So that assumes what? That lach itase, lach gets will heal, and yavesh lo mitase. And once it's a dry boil, that's not going to ever heal. So now they say, really? Lach mitase? Could a wet boil, liquidly boil, really get healed? V'haktiv, okay, in the Tochacha, in the Torah and Dvarim, in Parshat Ki Tavo, there's the list of all the terrible things that will happen. If you remember, boils are one of them. Yakecha Hashem bishchin mitzrayim, okay, ubatchoim, ubagarev, ubacheres, asher lo tuchal leherape. Now notice what it says here, gerev and cheres. What's cheres? Dried boils. Well, if cheres is dry boils, then gerev can't be dry boils, which we just explained. Right? We just said the Torah boils, gerev is dry boils, but that can't be if the Torah uses gerev to mean wetter boils. So here we're going to read it inside. Umidichtiv uvacheres hare gerev lachamor, right? Gerev must mean liquidy boils. V'kaamar, and what does it say there? Ashalotu chalaherape, which sounds like liquid boils can never be healed. Elat slatahavu. So now we're going to say, oh, we thought there were two kinds, dry and wet. Now we're going to say there's three kinds in order to resolve all our contradictions. Dekra, the pasuk where it says gerev, which is a vaday boil, yavesh beimi bifnim beimi bachutz. There's the inner part and the outer part. Both are dry. If both parts are dry, for sure that's a problem. Dematnitim, when it says in our Mishnah gerev, what did they mean? Where it says, meaning it's a safek, it's an in-between. Lach mi bachutz, umi bifnim. Okay, it's wet both on the inside and on the outside. The Mitzrayim, and the one in Mitzrayim which is worse, right, this is the one that can heal. So that's why when it has it, you can't shecht it. The Mitzrayim, yabesh mi bifnim velach mi bachutz. If it's the Egyptian type, then that's dry on the inside and wet on the outside. Okay, how do we know that that's the case? Okay, besides that they're suggesting this, and maybe it's just a good suggestion because if we're going to come up with different gradations, then, what are we going to say? Dichtiv. Now, by the way, the dry on the inside and dry on the outside is going to be a problem no matter what. The wet on the outside, right, what does it say? It's dry on the inside and wet on the outside is also going to be a problem. That's yalefet that's mentioned in the Torah. That's the chazazina mitzrit. And the one that's dry, that's wet both on the inside and the outside, that's our Mishnah, where it's going to blemish, that's going to heal. How do we know that the one in Mitzrayim was dry on the inside and wet on the outside? Dichti vayashchin poreach. Vayashchin. There's a mistake with this. Ababuot poreach. Okay, ba'adam. That's what they talk about. The shchin ababuot poreach sounds like it's wet on the outside, right? It's kind of poreach, which means it's coming out wet on the outside. Okay, so that's how we answered all of our contradictions. Where do we get this from? So this is going to be our basic drasha from the pasuk. Ditana Rabbanan, when it talks about the animals you can bring in the beginning of the Yikra, it says, V'im inatzon korbano, we're talking about the korban ola, minakvasim o minayizim, okay, and then it says, right, minatzon, and then it says, right, so they say, minatzon, it says minatzon, u minakvasim o minayizim. So it says all the different options, right, that you can bring it. Why does it specify tzon? Now, tzon includes keves and izim. So why does it have to say tzon, and then kvasim, and then izim? So, must be extra words here. What does it come to say? Prat le, right, there's three terms here. Prat le zaken, u le chole, u le mezuham. That comes to exclude an old animal, a sick animal, and a smelly animal. Utsriche, and why do you need all three? And this is, someone said this before. De'ikat ha-rachmana le-mi'ute zaken, de'lo ha-derbari. We can understand if you had zaken. Well, zaken will never get better, basically. Right? They're only, at that point, they're getting older. Even though it's not exactly true, right? You could be zaken, but probably if you're already at the point where you're shaking from old age, that probably won't be able to be healed. Aval choled, ahadarbari, emalo. But maybe you wouldn't think a sick animal would be a problem, since it'll eventually get better. Vi'i katav lemi'ute choleh, Dilab orche. And if you want to say, maybe chole, that's not its way. You're not supposed to get sick. Aval zakein, dehainu orche emalo. But maybe you would say old age is just the way it goes, and there's nothing bad about that, and therefore it can be brought on. Whereas chole is something that's out of the ordinary, right? Zakein, you could say, is still on the path, right? You're born, you get older, you get old, and that's still on a normal path of life. So maybe the animal will be able to be in the zakein, but not a chole, which is a diversion from the normal course of events. So therefore, you couldn't learn zaken from chole, and you couldn't learn chole from zaken. V'i katav rachmana trei lemi'ute hane dekhishe. You could say those two are eliminated because those get weakened. Aval mizuham, but if it's smelly, you would say delo kachish. It's no less strong, it just happens to have a bad odor. But that's not, it's still a strong animal, whereas the chole and the zaken both are weakened. So you couldn't learn that third one about the smelly from the other two. Say emalo. V'i nami lemi'ute mizuham mishum demais. Also, you could say maybe mizuham, if you just had mizuham, you might say, well, if that's bad because it's smelly, then of course the others, which, right, that's smelly but still strong, the animal still has its strength, but obviously then the weaker ones, so maybe you could learn that. No, you couldn't, because that's mishum demais. It's disgusting. If it smells foul, then ugh. Right? Whereas old and sick isn't disgusting. Avalhane delomi ise, right? But those that aren't disgusting, emalo, you might not have thought, therefore it's tzriche. That's why you need all three. Shnevdabo avera. How do we know that if an avera was done to the animal, you can't use it for a sacrifice? Manan emile, but also you can't shecht it. Ditana rabanan mina bema. Again, we're really trying to find out why you can't sacrifice it. Because again, when it says mina bema, this is also the beginning of a yikra, take from an animal, lahotzi rovea v'nirba. Okay, that's to exclude an animal that either initiated bestiality or someone caused it to be engaged in bestiality. Min habakar, the next term comes, lahotzi ataneevat. Okay, that's an animal that someone used as a deity. Min hatzon, lahotzi atamukta. So minatzon comes to exclude, now we're darshaning it two ways because we just darshaned it a minute ago, the minatzon, but according to this, it comes to exclude one that was designated for worship, even though no one ever worshipped it yet, for avodah zarah. Uminatzon lahotzi et hanogeach. And it also comes to exclude one that gored another, right, an ox, right, that gored a person. So now they say, but hane b'nei katlaninu. But aren't these all, just like our Mishnah said, right? These are all supposed to be killed. So how could you list them? Al pi ed echad o al pi avalim. Right? This is a good example where, I didn't really talk about this in the Mishnah, but ed echad is sufficient for certain things in halacha. Or the baalim, who are generally considered the owners of nogeah b'davar, we don't generally allow testimony from the owner. But in this case, we're going to allow if the owner, or there was one witness, not enough testimony in order to get the animal killed, but it's enough to say, can't sacrifice this animal. Bishlama, okay, now we're going to go to Tumtum. Bishlama Tumtum b'mikdash lo. Dilma nekevahi. B'medina lo, dilma zacharu. Okay, v'lepe muma. The Tumtum is very simple, right? According to Tanakhama. Remember, there were three opinions here. So Tanakhama's opinion is, it can't be in the Mikdash, the Tumtum and Androgynous, but it also can't be outside the Mikdash. So, we understand why it can't go in the Mikdash, because maybe it's not a Bechor at all, maybe it's a female, and it's not a Bechor, because there's no female Bechor. Maybe it's a male, because the whole thing is Tumtum is Suffolk, we don't know which one, and if it's a male, well, it doesn't have a moon. Okay, so that explains the Tumtum according to Tanakhama. Ela Androgynous, Bishlama b'Mikdash lo Dilma Nekevai. We can understand not in the Mikdash, you can't sacrifice it because maybe it's a female. Ela b'medina nehi, ela b'medina nami, nehi dezacharhu taseni kevot charitz v'yishchot aleha. In the Medina, it should be allowed. Why? Because if it's a zachar, and yet it has genitals of a female also, you could call that a cut. Like there's something open there. And that would be a Baal Mum. So you should be able to say that's a mum that we could slaughter on. Okay, interesting theory. Amar Abaye. So now we're going to have two explanations as to why you can't call the Simanei Nekevut of an Androgynous, where it has genitals of a female, a cut that would create a mum. Amar Abaye, Amar Kra. O charutz o shavur. When it talks about something that's cut, it says either charutz, and what's the word right next to it, the mum next to it, or broken. Now, broken means where there's a bone, right? So charutz, dumia de shavur, they make a correlation between these two. Ma shavur b'mkom etzem, af charutz b'mkom etzem, and there's no bone there, and therefore the charutz that they're talking about where it's cracked, it has to be where it's cracked where there's a bone, and there's no bone there. Rava gives a different explanation. Below shavur, Rava Amar, below shavur nami lo masi damar. Even if you didn't have the word shavur next to it, you still couldn't have said charut bimkom basar havei muma. You still couldn't say that when it's cracked, where there's no bone, right? In other words, he's going to say the same thing as Abaye, just not learn it from the connection between the word shavur. He's saying even without that, it would be obvious that we don't use the blemish of charuts when there's no bone. Which again would mean that's why this isn't charuts. De isal kadata havei muma. Kevanda Amar Gerev Zehu Cheres Michratz Charitz Dichtiv. Okay, this is a very difficult passage to understand. He says like this. Gerev, we explained, is Cheres, right? That's what a Gerev is. It's a dry boil. Now, a dry boil, the assumption is, it's also cut, okay? Or it appears like a crack. Okay, dichtiv, how do we know this? And here, this is why it's a little tricky, he switches from blemishes to leprous marks. Okay, it's like he makes this switch as if it's an obvious switch, and it's not even 100% clear how this works, but I'll try my best to explain it as best as I understand it. Dichtiv, this is the way the leprous mark looks, that it looks deeper from the color of the skin. Kimar echa maha mukamina sail. This is also a difficult passage. We've seen this before. Like it appears that the sun is under the shade. I think what this means is when the shade, you know, when you see the shade, there's, let's say you're walking on the street, there's a shadow. What it basically looks like is the shadow is covering the sun, basically, right? That's kind of what's happening. It's covering the sun, but it makes it look like the sun is on the ground and the shadow is covering it. So that's the way this looks, like it's recessed, like it's deeper than the skin. Somehow, I don't 100% understand it.
I think I understand it.
Yeah.
It's like something's irritated and it's reddish, or it even has orange or yellowish tones to it, except that the crust on top, the scaling, is just dark and sitting.
Okay, so you can understand that, where it's underneath it's redder and... Yeah, and then on top there's a scab. Okay, that's a nice way to understand it. So therefore they say, okay, so according to that, one second, now I have to get how this works in, because it's saying, right, so the Gerev, right, so therefore, if that's the case, then they assume the Gerev must have a crack there, like an incision. Belichta Rahmana Charitz below by Garib. And in that case, the Torah, now we're flipping back to ours, the Torah should have said Charitz and it didn't need to say Garib. Ba'amina, and then I would say like this, Charitz de lo mai savemuma, Garib de mai slo kol shaken. If Charitz, which is just a crack, isn't disgusting, for sure a boil, which is this crusty part, right, and it's cracked and it's gross, then all the more so it should be a mum. Therefore, they have to say like this, which is, Katav Rachmana Garav. So why does it say Garav en Charetz? Lemeimar de Charetz b'mkom basar lo havi muma. To teach you that a Charetz, the Garav is telling you, it's dafka a Charetz, not b'mkom etzem. Okay? And therefore, it's to teach you that it has to be bimkom basar. Okay, that if it's not bimkom basar, then it's not a mum. That's the chiddush of adding garav to the list. Okay, so therefore he says, I don't have to learn it from charetz or shavur, I can learn it just from charetz and garav. The fact that garav and charetz are both mentioned, that shows that it's to teach you that if it's not bimkom basar, it's not a, if it's bimkom basar without an etzen, it's not a mum. Okay, now we're going to go to, now we're going to continue. Kabaye lo amar charet. Oh, so, sorry, Rabbi Yishmael says, okay, I see it's in parentheses, but really should be, right, should this be read now? Yeah, so Rabbi Yishmael says there's no greater mum than this. So now we have to explain why he didn't understand like Rav and Abaye. Okay, so Kabaye lo amar charet stumia de shavur. Lo amar charet stumia de shavur. He didn't believe in that drasha. The charet is like shavur. Rava Nami lo Amar, he didn't say like Rava either. Dil mahecha de lo minkara, aval hecha de minkar mumra krinabe. When we said a charetz is only where there's a bone, that's in a place where it's not so noticeable. But in a place where it's noticeable, like here, where the evarim, you know, the genitals are, where it's very noticeable that it has this nikevut, that's mumra krinabe. If you remember, the pasuk said kol mumra. So that's a mumra. So therefore, he thinks, right, that this is a mum. By Rava, now Rava asks a good question. He says, "My time to Rabbi Yishmael." When Rabbi Yishmael says, "This is a ein lecha mum gadol mizeh," how do we understand this?
The parenthesis of Rabbi Yishmael should have been read now after Kurt.
Uh-huh.
It says here, "Sika zot shayach amar achar tevat karim."
Yeah, I saw that in the Masoret Hashas. Why? Uh-huh. So that this was really.
Rabbi is answering now.
I see. In other words, the diyun before, okay, so fine. This didn't relate to Rabbi Yishmael. This was, why didn't Rabbi say like Abai and why didn't Abai say like Rabbi? Okay, so let's just go back quickly. Kabai lo amar kas charetz jumia de shavur lo amrina. In other words, Rabbi didn't say like Abai because he didn't believe in this drasha of the juxtaposition. Abai didn't say like Rabbi because maybe that's only when it's lo minkar, but when it's noticeable, it's a mumra. Okay, now let's go to Rabbi Yishmael. So by Rava, my time to Rabbi Yishmael, why does Rabbi Yishmael say this? Is it because Mifsha Pshitale, Androgynous Bechorhu, Umumo Imo? Is it because it's obvious that Androgynous is 100% a Bechor, okay, it's considered male, but it's a Bechor with Mumo Imo and therefore can be sacrificed? O Dilma Sipuke Misapgale. Or is he saying maybe it's a zachar, and if it's a zachar, then mumo imo. In other words, you can sacrifice it because either it's a nikeva, and then it's, you can sacrifice, I'm sorry, not sacrifice, I keep confusing this word, slaughter it, not sacrifice. Either it's a female, and then you can, or it's a male, and if it's a male, well, it's mumo imo. So either which way, but it's out of sefik, and it's, is it badaya b'chor? Or is it sefek a b'chor, but either which way you're going to go, you're going to allow it. Because either it's female, and therefore it can be slaughtered, or it's male, and it has its mum. Imtim tzelomar ka'amar. Right, the imtim tzelomar ka'amar, exactly as I said. Imtim tzelomar b'chor hu hare mumo imo. Right? In other words, either it's a b'chor mumo imo, or it's a female, and then it can be slaughtered anyway. So, l'may nafkamina, what's the relevance? Well, the relevance is, l'milka ale mishum giza v'avoda. If it's vadaya b'chor, and then you work the animal or shear the animal, you're going to get malka for that. If it's safek b'chor, right? If it's vade can be slaughtered for sure, but vade can be slaughtered either because it's vadai a zachar and therefore it can be slaughtered, or and mumo imo, or it's safek b'chor, right? Safek male, safek female. Again, no matter what, it can be slaughtered. However, it might not be Esther, but Giza Vavoda, because if it's female, then you can actually work the animal. So if you work the animal or sheared it, obviously we're still going to say it's forbidden, misafik, but could you get malko for it? You don't get malko unless you do something vadai. And here, you could claim, right, don't give me malkot, or the law is you don't get malkot because it's doubtful whether it's female or not. That would be the nafka mina here. Inami, another option would be to say, lemitva lekohen. Do you have to give it to a kohen? Again, if it's safek female, then you have to give it to a kohen because it's safek, and amotzi mechaver ala paraya. He would have to prove it, so then you could keep it for yourself and slaughter it. So let's try to figure out where Rabbi Yishmael holds. Is it out of conviction? It's 100% male, we know for sure. Or is it out of suffix? And again, either way we allow you to slaughter it, but there's two nafkaminas here that we already said. So Tashma, let's learn from the source. Rabbi Eli, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yishmael, Androgynous Bechorhu Mumu Imo. What does it sound like? It's Bechorhu Mumu Imo. Shma Mina Mifsha Pshitale. Sounds like it's obvious from that line. The line of Rabbi Eli. But then we say, no, Dilma intim tzalomer kamar. Maybe when he said Mishum Rabbi Yishmael androgynous bechor mumo imo, maybe he's saying even if it's a bechor, well, it's got its mum imo, and therefore it's not so clear this 100%. Same thing we're going to do with the next source. Tashma zachar. We're going to darshan this word zachar. Okay, zachar appears twice in the beginning of Vayikra. First in pasuk gimel it says zachar tami mekrivenu. And then in Pasuk Yud, it also says, Zachar tami mekrivenu. I think it's the exact same words, I don't remember, but it also says Zachar there. So why does it say it twice? So first, they're going to say like this. Zachar means Zachar velona keva, right? Now, female. This is for the korban ola, has to be from a male animal. Kishu omer lamata Zachar, but when it then says later in Pasuk Yud Zachar, shein tamud lomar, we don't need it anymore. Right, it's to exclude the second mention of Zachar is to exclude tum tum vandroginus. So now they're going to say, who does this source go by? If you say it's Tanakama's opinion, well, they said the whole androgynous and tum tum is a sefik. If it's a sefik, you don't need a pasuk to exclude a sefik case. Sefik means we just don't know what it is. The Torah obviously knows everything. We wouldn't need a pasuk to exclude some category that's sefik. Ela Rabbanan Batshrai, maybe it's the last Chachamim's opinion, who said in the Mishnah, Eino Bechor Elan, right, it's not a Bechor at all. If you want to say it's the second one, Mechad Kranafik. You can learn that already from one Pasuk, because if it's not a Zachar, if it's Vadai not a Zachar, then one Zachar should be enough. Tehagabe Bechor Chad Zachar Hu Dichtiv, because by Bechor it only mentions Zachar once. Kame'ate kulu minayu, and they exclude everything from that one zachar. Ela pshita Rabbi Yishmael. It must be Rabbi Yishmael. Now, if you say this bright as Rabbi Yishmael, zachar velona keva, and then zachar again to exclude a tumtum and androgynous. Iyamar pishlama Rabbi Yishmael, mifsha pshita le. Hainu d'itzrich kralam yute. Then again, you'd have to say, the pasuk's only coming to exclude something that's a vada, not a safek. So iyamar misveka le itzrich kralam yute sveka. So therefore, it must be Rabbi Yishmael, it must be its vadai. So they basically say this brayta can be explained in no other way other than according to Rabbi Yishmael. And since it can only be explained according to Rabbi Yishmael, and we say the pasuk excludes this category, that means the pasuk only excludes categories that are vadai. So therefore, it must be that it's vadai clear that it's a zachar, it's just excluded because it's an androgynous. So then they say, no, you can explain this some other way, this source. Lo'olam rabbanan batrai, v'gabei b'chor, tarte krai k'tiv, hazachar v'hazcharim. The whole premise of the Braita was that the whole reason to say it wasn't like Chachamim, the last Chachamim, was because by b'chor, it says zachar only once, and it excludes. And actually, by b'chor, it's not true that it says zachar once. There's also two mentions of zachar. There's zacharim, and there's zachar, and therefore, there would be the same as here, and therefore, you could say it's the last opinion of Chachamim, and therefore, it doesn't prove anything about Rabbi Yishmael. So we're left with a siman sheila about Rabbi Yishmael. We didn't really resolve it.